96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When you go to church on Sunday, do the people in your congregation look like you, or is the congregation racially diverse? Well, no matter what your religion is or when you worship, it's likely the people with you are the same color you are. Why are Sundays considered the most segregated day of the week? Well, joining me to talk about this issue are Dante King, senior pastor at Greater Mount Zion Church in Prince Frederick, Maryland, Barbara Yoder, senior leader of the Shekinah Regional Apostolic Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Reverend Donald Smith with the Salvation Army. The lines are open. I'd love to hear from our listeners tonight about this issue. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. You can also comment on my Facebook page, friend me at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher, or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. I want to thank all of you for joining me in this conversation. Let me first jump right in. Pastor King, from a historical perspective, why is Sunday the most segregated day of the week when it comes to worship?
I think, Harold, the first thing is that we must understand that during slavery, we had a certain time that we could worship on Sundays, which was typically 11 o'clock. And we have our own style of worship. Sometimes the African-American church's worship is more demonstrative and more uplifting or exciting than our Caucasian churches. And so I think the segregation started out of necessity, and it continued on out of more of a different styles of worship. Also back then, the church was the epicenter. We got all of our information about the black community in the church. So we, in essence, spoke to ourselves about our issues that were pertaining to us more so. Dr. King did that himself. So I think it was segregation for a purpose, not just to be divisive or to divide.
Ms. Yoder, do I call you Leader Yoder? How do you want me to refer to you?
Pastor Yoder.
Pastor Yoder, thank you so much. I appreciate that. You have a very diverse church. Kind of give me the rundown of the congregation there.
We do have a very diverse church. It's about 40% white, 40% African American. I'm white. We have Asian nations, including Mainland China. We have the Caribbean islands. We have some Europeans. We've got an African nations: Nigeria, Cameroon, Liberia, Kenya, Uganda, several different African nations. It's quite diverse.
So how is that? Because, you know, for a lot of people, let's take the Washington metro area, and I would imagine also in places in Michigan, such as other parts of Ann Arbor, Detroit, and Grand Rapids and other places, black folks go to black churches, white folks go to white churches. Even if you're a Korean and Christian, you will go to a Korean Christian church and the like. We see the same thing here. So how is it that you, a white female pastor, has such a diverse church?
Well, I think there's several factors involved. I think one, we started out with just one person of African American origin, and they were drawn because of the presence of God, the nature, the presence of God in the services, and had been a longtime friend of mine, and then it began to branch out. We began to get another one, and then another one, and then I became I was very impacted by Martin Luther King, and I became a probably one of the major forces in the Detroit metropolitan area back in the 90s to bring about racial reconciliation, and spearheaded a reconciliation meeting on the very grounds where the 1967 riots occurred, in what is called today Martin Luther King Park. And so as we gained, because of my own history, and I had a great uncle who pastored in Tennessee in the Methodist Episcopal Church and left Tennessee because of segregation. He didn't believe in it and left and pastored in Wisconsin. And so I think I inherited a real bias against segregation and segregated churches.
It sounds like you've taken that to the pulpit at your church. For Reverend Donald Smith with the Salvation Army, you have an unusual position with your congregation. Tell us about it.
Yes, Harold, we oversee an alcohol and drug rehab facility. It's a 135-bed facility, and the program is open and available to anyone in the community, any man in the community who needs it. And they can come and participate with us here in a structured, accountable environment that's Christ-centered in our approach toward recovery. And the men have a worship experience with us here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. And it is a diverse group of men. I would say we're probably about 75% African-American, about 20% Caucasian, and perhaps 5% Hispanic and Asian ethnicity.
Well, and briefly, because I've got to take a break, but Pastor Smith, Reverend Smith, I should say, what is it like, a white man standing in the pulpit ministering to a flock of predominantly African Americans? What kind of reception do you receive from them? What kind of goes through your mind when it comes to those cultural messages that are often interwoven in the messages of faith?
Well, you know, I really believe that all of us here have the common denominator of sharing the gift of desperation. And that kind of overshadows any kind of ethnic diversity, I believe, because people have come to that point. Many of the men in our program have become so desperate, they're ready for God to work in their lives. And in that context, I think our worship has just been very meaningful, and we've had certainly a sense of common ground as we've sought the Lord together and just tried to be an encouragement one to another. And we do try to include some meaningful diversity in terms of our worship style and try to include expressions of worship that would be appreciated by anyone who comes into the center. But I think it has really been a very meaningful experience for all of us as we've shared that time together. I have not sensed any real difficulty in that regard and feel like our participants in worship have appreciated very much the diversity of our service.
Well, Reverend Smith, hold on. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Is church service really black and white? Is your church a diverse place, or is it racially segregated? 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment. Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Why are Sundays the most segregated day of the week? We're talking about segregated worship. My guests are Dante King, senior pastor at Greater Mount Zion Church in Prince Frederick, Maryland, Pastor Barbara Yoder, senior leader of the Shekinah Regional Apostolic Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Reverend Donald Smith with the Salvation Army right here in Hyattsville, Maryland. If you want to get in on this conversation, we'd love to hear about what's going on in your church. Is it diverse or is it racially segregated? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. William, calling from Arlington, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having the show and greetings to everyone. I certainly appreciate what the ladies and gentlemen were speaking about. Very interesting. But your question is, as far as how and why worship could be so segregated, I think that we would have to look back into the period of slavery when both parties, if you will, believed in God, but one was slightly different.
But William, slavery's over now.
Such a situation, thinking, how can I worship with my slave master?
Let me say this, because I don't want to go too deep into the history lesson, but slavery's over now. And we have black Christians, we have white Christians, we have Asian Christians, we have Christians from all walks of life, all walks of the community. So why not try out another church that may not necessarily be a black church or a white church, because God is God and Jesus is Jesus, or you know, you may be Catholic, or you may be apostolic or holiness. What, you know, slavery's over. What do you say about that? William?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. What do you say about that?
About what?
Well, I said slavery's over. I said slavery is over. So, you know, and God is God, Jesus is Jesus. If you're a Christian wherever you worship or whomever you worship, whatever your religious affiliation is. So, yeah, you know, that's the history. But what's going on now? Why is it still that way?
Well, when you say now,
we saw
a Supreme Court rule against women using religion as its reason. So how can a person do that and still say that they can lead a congregation of women in which women are included? And in their mindset and in their methods, they are oppressing women.
Okay. William, I think that's another show, and I appreciate it. That I'm not sure I can even relate to. All I'm saying is slavery's over. Pastor King, slavery's over.
Yes.
Why not have more diverse churches?
I think it's not like slavery's over, but I also think it's, like I said earlier, it's our worship styles. Similar to a restaurant, you can find five different restaurants that sell chicken, from the Cheesecake Factory to Chick-fil-A to McDonald's. It's pretty much, what do you have a taste for? What kind of chicken do you like? And it doesn't make either one of those restaurants wrong, but it's a matter of choice and it's a matter of diversity. Like I said earlier, I think when it's done to be segregated on purpose, it's a problem. But if I choose to go to worship somewhere because it fits my preference, then I don't think it's an issue at all. We should strive for diversity, but everyone should have a choice to choose where they worship.
Well, indeed they do. We're going to talk more about that choice. If you're on the phone, hang on. Rodney, Donald, Vanessa, I'm talking to you next. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR.